Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Today out of 2 Kings chapter 7, I want to talk about the importance of sharing the good news. Sharing the good news. So if you're looking for a title for this morning's message, that's it. Sharing the good news. Before we read our text, I want to give you a little bit of background information concerning the story that we're going to look at in chapter 7. If you went back one chapter to chapter 6, we have described for us a very dark period of time in history for the northern kingdom of Israel. Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom, was besieged by a strong Syrian army led by Ben-Hadad. And consequently, the Israelites were experiencing a famine because they could not leave or enter into the city. According to chapter 6, verse 25, just glance at that verse. I'm not going to read it, but look back at chapter 6, verse 25. The famine was so severe that the head of a donkey sold for 80 pieces of silver. Now, the head of a donkey is considered one of the least nourishing and most repulsive parts of that animal's body. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I'd rather eat than a donkey's head, right? When I think about my wife saying, well, let me tell you what we're going to have for dinner. We're going to have a donkey's head. I might would stop and get me something on the way home. Amen? Stop by a fast food restaurant. But notice that even though this animal was by Jewish law considered as an unclean animal to the Israelites, it became a highly valued commodity to them because they were starving to death. But it gets even worse. Look, if you will, at chapter 6, verse 29. Because we see that the people had resorted to cannibalism where mothers were eating their own children. Can you imagine such an act of desperation? And then look at verse 30 of chapter 6. The verse says that when the king heard this, he rent or he tore his clothes in deep distress and sorrow over the plight of his people. But then notice his next reaction in verse 31. Instead of recognizing the fact that they were experiencing God's chastisement for their sin, the king begins to blame the prophet Elisha for all that has happened to them. He even threatens to kill the prophet Elisha by beheading him within 24 hours. And he immediately sends an executioner to the prophet's house. Well, warned by God concerning the king's evil intention, Elisha bars the door and then he proclaims what I would call an unbelievable prophecy in chapter 7, verse 1. Look at it, 2 Kings 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now, when you first read that verse, it may not mean much to you, but what he is saying is that within 24 hours, they would no longer be starving to death, but food would be so abundant that the price of food would be back to normal again. Now, humanly speaking, Elisha's prophecy was inconceivable. It was impossible for them to think that they would go from the brink of starvation one day to a life of plenty the next day. And yet that was the promise that God had given to them through his prophet Elisha, and that the people All they had to do was simply believe the word of God. Believe that God would do what he said he would do through his prophet Elisha. But look at verse 2. Because chapter 7, verse 2 tells us that this divine promise was faced with ridicule. The officer who was assisting the king expresses his complete disbelief that God could do such a miracle. How in the world could they go from one day starvation to the next day having plenty of food to eat? But his lack of faith and his complete disbelief resulted in his death. Elisha, notice what he says. Basically, he says, you will see God's promise of food, but you won't have the privilege of eating any of it. Elisha's prophecy, by the way, came true because we find these words in verse 17 of chapter 7. Look at it. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. As the man of God, what man of God? Elisha had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. Now, let me pause right here and make a spiritual analogy. And I want you to know this is not the main meat of my message, but I want to make a spiritual analogy from this Old Testament story. Just like this story, God has miraculously provided a way for all of us to go from death to life. Right? You know where I'm going with this. Just like this story, God has miraculously and supernaturally provided a way for all of us to go from spiritual death to spiritual life. He accomplished that which was humanly impossible to us by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross for our sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 21 expresses this, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. But listen to me closely, because just like God's promise of salvation here in 2 Kings chapter 6 and chapter 7, it had to be received by faith. God's promise of salvation through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, it also has to be received by faith. We have to believe. We choose to believe and live, or we refuse to believe and we die. That's the choice that everybody has. The same way here, where they could choose to believe the word of God and they would go from starvation to eating plenty of food the next day. In the same way, if we want to go from spiritual death to spiritual life, we have to choose to believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So many today in our culture are just like this officer that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 2. So many people in our culture refuse to believe what God has said and what God freely offers to them. Salvation, full and free, by simply believing in Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ today? I hope that you are. If you're not, I hope that today you'll not refuse to believe, but that you would receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, all we have to do is simply believe what God has said he will do. May we never forget those wonderful words spoken by Jesus, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you'll come to Jesus today, I promise you, he will save you. There's not one person here today that would say, oh, I don't know if Jesus died for me. He died for you. He died for you. He died for all of your sins. And if you will come to Christ today, today you can go from spiritual death to spiritual life. You see, just like these Israelites who deserve to die because of their sin against God, we too deserve the penalty of our sins. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God in his grace made a way for us to experience the forgiveness of our sin and to enjoy everlasting life by faith in Christ. Now back to 2 Kings 7, where we find the story about four lepers. Because of their leprosy, they were excluded from the city. Now, let's pick up the story here in verse 3. 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning in verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come. And let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is the day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Circle that word, go. Because that's what we're talking about all throughout the month of March. Rise up and go. Now notice the story here. There are four lepers, and these lepers are sitting outside of the gate of the city, and they are starving to death, only eating the garbage that is tossed over the wall. The next day, they are enjoying what? An abundance of food as they sit and they eat from what I would call the Syrian buffet that only God could miraculously provide. They went from having nothing to suddenly they possessed gold and silver and new clothes. My friend, these four lepers remind me of what we have experienced in Christ. We were absolutely hopeless and had the sentence of death upon us. But by God's amazing grace, we are now enjoying the salvation that he has provided for us. We were spiritually bankrupt, but now we have been made rich in Christ. We went from death to life, from darkness to light, from being a part of the family of Satan to being a part of the family of God. We can now exclaim with the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Isn't it good to be saved today? Isn't it good to know that we have passed from death unto life by simple faith in Christ? We were wretched sinners, clothed in dirty rags, but now as believers, we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We, like these lepers, don't deserve the grace and the goodness of God, but isn't it great today to enjoy the blessings of knowing Him because of what Christ accomplished on the cross? You see, in this story, if it ended at verse 8, it would be a great story. Right? I mean, literally, the story could end in verse 8 and we'd go, wow, this is an awesome story, incredible story. But the verse that I really want you to get a hold of, or should I say, I want this verse to get a hold of you, is verse 9. Look at it again. Because this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning. 2 Kings 7, verse 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household." There are three observations that I want to give you about this story and about these four lepers, all right? So if you're taking notes, you're going to jot down three main thoughts. Number one, the disgrace of withholding good news. We see that in verse 9, the disgrace of withholding good news. The four lepers were enjoying what God had graciously provided for them. I mean, they went from starving to death one day to where they had plenty to eat. They had gold, they had silver, they had all these new clothes. God had been so good to them. They were enjoying everything that God had provided. But then they were suddenly convicted of the fact that there were others still dying in the city. There were others who were totally unaware of God's miraculous provision. And they began to agonize over the fact that they had plenty to eat, but the people in Samaria were still starving to death. And deep down in their souls, they began to be distraught and they were disturbed just thinking about the hopeless situation that maybe some of their own family members were in, and their friends and their neighbors. All of them were enduring starvation, not having any food to eat. And they said, "We do not well. This is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace." The Apostle Paul expressed the same identical feeling in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." You see, it is a disgrace to withhold good news from those who need to hear it. Now you think about that for a moment. Can you imagine a person having the cure for cancer and yet withholding that information while literally thousands around him die? You would probably say that person is a disgrace. They have the cure. They know the cure for cancer, and yet they are holding on to that good news. They're not sharing that good news with others. And we would say there's something wrong with that person. That's a disgrace that they would know what the cure to cancer is, and yet they wouldn't go and share that good news with others. But my friend, in the same way, we live in a world that is dying and on its way to hell. And even though we have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, too often we don't share it with those who desperately need to hear those wonderful words of life. You and I should be disturbed by the fact that we live in a world with a population of 7.7 billion people, and the majority of those people are dying without knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. The vast majority of them don't even know who Jesus is. They've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to be convicted in the same way that these four lepers were convicted. And deep down in our souls, we ought to agonize over the condition of the lost. It's a disgrace for us as Christians to go about our busyness, living life as usual with the majority of humanity is on the brink of spiritual death. You see, too often we're just doing church as usual, going through the motions, going through the mechanics of coming and meeting at church while there are untold millions, yea, billions of people that are yet to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we need to say today, like these four lepers did many, many years ago, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. It's not good for us to be here today and know the gospel of Jesus Christ and having received the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet we do nothing to share that good news with others. God forbid that we should be found guilty of the sin of silence. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Let me tell you a story, an old, old story. In October of 1857, the great missionary Hudson Taylor began to minister in a city in China called Ningpo. And he had the opportunity to lead a man to Christ there in that city. The man had been a leader in the sect of Reformed Buddhists there. And the man was so overjoyed that he had gotten saved that he began to share his faith with his friends and others who were still blinded by Buddhism. One day, he and Hudson Taylor were together, and he looked at Hudson Taylor and he said, "How long have you had the good tidings in England?" Taylor thought about it for a moment, and then he acknowledged that England had known the gospel for many, many centuries. And then the man said, "My father died seeking the truth. Why didn't you come sooner?" Taylor had no answer to that penetrating question. But I'm here to tell you that there are still millions of people around the world that are seeking the truth. They're looking for the way to heaven. And they don't have the answer because we do not well today. Because we what? We're holding our peace. We're not telling others the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a point here in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9, and that is there is disgrace to withholding the good news from others that need to hear it. Number two, there is a danger of withholding good news. There is not only the disgrace of it, but there's the danger of withholding good news. Notice what they say. If we tarry till the morning light, if we wait and we hold on to this good news and we don't do anything about it right now, if we don't see the urgency of getting the good news out, some mischief will come upon us. The implication here is that there is great, great danger in withholding the good news. First of all, let me say that a church which does not share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ will eventually cease to exist. It will. There are empty church buildings all across Europe, all across the United States of America today, because congregations have become inward focused and they have withheld the gospel from a lost and dying world. It's a dangerous thing to become a selfish church where all we do is think about our needs and what we want, and we never give thought to those that are lying out here in our community, those that are all around the world who desperately need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, we are, and I believe this with all of my heart, we are held accountable to share the good news of the gospel with the whole world. I'm reminded of the word of God to the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33, verse 7 and 8. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. And then get that last statement there, but his blood will I require at thine hand. In other words, you knew about it and you didn't do anything about it. You know that people are lost and dying in their sins and on their way to a devil's hell. What are you doing about it? You have the good news. You're just like those four lepers where they say, it is not a good thing that we sit here in silence. We need to get up and we need to go tell others about the good news. You see, God forbid that we should one day stand before the Lord guilty of not sending the gospel to the four corners of the earth. But just like these four lepers, not only should we agonize over the condition of the lost, and we should think about the responsibility that we have to share the good news with them, but we must also, number three, we should make the decision to share the good news. Go back to that word go. I have it circled in my Bible in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9, that we may go and tell the king's household. That word go implies what? Action, right? The four lepers didn't say that they would just sit there and wait for the city to come to them, but they realized their need to go. A lot of churches are like that. They just sit and wait for lost people to come through the doors. You see, we can't just sit back and wait for them to come. Let me ask you a very probing question here this morning. Can we be right with God and refuse to share the good news of the gospel with the lost and dying world? Because a lot of Christians feel like they're right with God, and yet they make no effort at all at evangelizing their own community where they're placed, or to evangelize the world by supporting missionaries and sending them to go spread the gospel. When I think about that question that you see up on the screen there, I think the four lepers would have said no. We can't be right with God and withhold the good news from others. And I believe you would agree with me that these four lepers here in 2 Kings chapter 7 made an incredible difference in the city of Samaria. And the way that they made that incredible difference was by simply sharing the good news.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.